What up, what up? Cabo Penny Show, episode 14. So this one's kind of a special one. So we have a guest on this one, our first guest on the show, Orlando Sanders Jr. He is an amateur MMA fighter, fights as a welterweight, so he fights at 170. He currently is the 11th ranked of 908 active amateur welterweights in the Midwest, so he's ranked 11th. He's currently the welterweight champion out of, what is it, it's Alliance Fighting?
Nemesis Fighting.
Nemesis Fighting Alliance, he is the welterweight champion. Currently, like I said, he's ranked 11th out of 908 active welterweights in the Midwest, and he's ranked 3rd out of 286 welterweights in Missouri and Kansas. So the guy's definitely on his way up, and let me tell you, shit, man, I really enjoyed talking to the guy.
Dude,
I
mean, that was awesome.
Extremely down-to-earth, super knowledgeable. I felt like we could have probably talked to that guy for another hour or two. Like, I love just... spoke really well. I mean, just in everything about it, like, it was just thoroughly enjoyable.
I agree. He, like I said, I've known Orlando for a couple of years now, and he's a super humble guy, man. Like, just down to earth, like you said, super nice. And it was a pleasure having him on tonight. I really enjoyed that.
So hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. It's pretty much the duration of the episode is pretty much the interview. It was a pretty good interview. Ran longer than we thought it would, but hey, we're not mad at it. Like I said, you know, we really enjoyed it, and thankful that Orlando was able to link up and give us some time to sit down and talk with him, and we'll definitely be promoting him as he moves forward and fights on June 22nd. So
wish him luck, guys. He's a killer.
Without further ado, here's Orlando Sanders Jr.
And we're back. Episode 14, Cabo Penny Show. Took last week off. Appreciate you guys being patient with us. Different setting today. So what we're doing is we're actually at our coach's gym, Mike Renthmeyer, BJJ Lifestyle Academy, and the one in South County. Interviewing my boy Orlando Sanders Jr. For those that don't know, Orlando is the 170-pound welterweight champion of the NFA, which is the Nemesis Fighting Alliance. Local up-and-coming fighter here in St. Louis. Awesome dude. He's one of my training partners, one of my friends, stuff like that. So without further ado, what's up, Orlando? What's cooking, brother?
How you doing?
So good, man.
Happy
good.
To have you, man. First good. Guest.
Thank you.
Glad you're here, bro. So tell us a little bit about you, man. Like, where are you from? Where'd you go to high school? You're pretty local, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm from Bloomington Normal.
Oh, are you really? Okay.
Yeah. Up north. And... well, I moved down, lived there, so I was like 4 or 5.
Right on.
And then moved to East St. Louis, the Centerville area.
Okay.
And basically just kind of moved from there. My parents, I went to Dunbar, Lincoln, and all those, you know,
right
those
on.
Nice schools, and met some great people, met some of my friends from there. You know, I've been near friends for years.
Hell yeah.
So, just move up there. Then, I went to high school at Bevel East.
That's
went there
thought.
For three years. And then, went to West my last year.
Did you really?
Yes.
Right on. Did you,
what was that like? Going 3 years at East and then a year at West?
It was great.
Was it? Was it just like a needed change? Like, I mean, West was better compared to East.
Definitely.
For you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, my parents split up, so I was, you know, kind of
in between.
My mom's house,
yeah.
And then we moved. My parents, my mom and my stepdad married, and that's how I basically ended up at West. And then, kind of.
Rest's history, huh?
Yes, sir.
Did you wrestle or anything in high school? Any sports?
I did.
Right on.
I played football for 13 years, so since I was 5, and then I wrestled for about like 2 or 3 years, a little bit before high school, and then really kicked in a year as far as wrestling in high school.
Cool.
Freshman year, took off sophomore, just for grades and stuff like that. And then junior and senior year, kicked in high.
Said, fuck it, I'm going all in, huh?
Yeah.
So, at what point, I guess, did you kind of find well, I guess MMA and fighting, and kind of figure out, like, hey, this is, there's something here, you know, that, that not only is it pushing you, but it's something that you feel like, you, you know, you, you want to do to make a living.
I definitely found that my senior year of wrestling, well, I broke my thumb, and, well, yeah, I broke my thumb my senior year, and I was throwing a guy, and I landed right on my thumb, and it snapped it in half, so I broke the metacarpal, snapped it in half, and, you know, the rest is history, so out for 4 months.
Fuck.
Then, during my junior year, senior year, I was wrestling, doing freestyle Greco.
Yep.
And I was growing, I was doing that, and doing that at East St. Louis Wrestling Club,
mm-hmm.
With Mike Greenfield and Riley Irving, and some other places.
And that's a car alarm.
Yeah, there's a little car alarm going on right outside.
No, that's cool.
Perfect.
Oh,
no, you're good. All
right. But I was down there, and basically I was, you know, fighting through the ranks, basically.
Hell yeah.
And I was working my butt off, and, you know, that's kind of how it started in a way. And I know I wanted to do this, and I mm-hmm. wanted to pursue college wrestling, and you know, I set my mind to it, and I definitely did that. And just going and going, my senior year of high school, broke my thumb. Then I was like, well, the doctor said I was not supposed to, you know, keep going, keep wrestling. So obviously I took that into consideration, but I'm going to keep doing this because it's something that I love and I wanted to pursue.
And that was due to that thumb injury?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
And that kind of started a drive.
Sure.
From there. So I started that, and I ended up qualifying for Greco. Didn't qualify for freestyle wrestling, but Greco is what my passion was.
Oh yeah.
So that's what I love to do, is throw. And
definitely, I know that.
So I did that, and kind of like did that, and I qualified for nationals. Well, I kind of took a shot mentally, physically, and my parents, my mom definitely was like, you need to go to school, you know, definitely, you know.
Mom's looking out for you, bro.
Yeah, definitely.
She knows what's best. They all do.
Yeah. And she's like, no, you need to go to school. Well, you know, that's what I'm working towards, and that's what I said. And,
sure.
You know, I'm doing that, and so I went to SWCC, made her happy, and, you know, went to SWCC. I ended up hating it, just because it was just something that I wasn't too into.
Right, you were doing it for someone else,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yes, sir. And I definitely did that, but I didn't like it. But long story short, went to Greco's, came up, going to Fargo and stuff, and, well, the East St. Louis Wrestling Club decided not to help me out and pay for my way to go. So I took that on the chin. So that kind of shot me mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it just really sucked. So I needed to keep training because I felt like this still wasn't done. So I kept doing it. I visited Lindenwood, and I would go up there and wrestle, and then I found a friend of mine was like, hey, you want to come to this gym? His name's Courtney Moore. You want to come to this gym? Yeah, sure. Well, that's kind of how I, and also there was a Kendrick coach, his name's Scott, and we just instantly kind of bonded, and we wanted to, build with him, and then
right.
Kind of showed me some jiu-jitsu stuff. I'm like, man,
something here, man.
Yeah.
This shit's real.
Yeah. It's definitely fun. So I'm just keep doing it. I'm gonna keep training, keep busy, but I like this too as well. So I keep doing it, I ended up signing up.
What gym was that?
BJJ Lifestyle Academy.
Okay, so where we train currently.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's when you found Mike.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then I met Mike, and, you know, I signed a contract and stuff like that. You know how Mike is. You know, you're going to do this, you're going to do it.
Hell yeah. He's straight fucking forward, man. Yeah. I love that about
him. I love it. But basically, he said, I want you just to stick to it. And I stuck to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that about him because, you know, he set me on a big path. The right path, I feel like. So, stick with him. So,
right on, man.
Yeah. That's how I got started.
I can relate to that too, though, man, because I remember when I messaged Mike because I was doing like Muay Thai kickboxing in my boy Jeff's garage. I had a blast with it, but I was like, man, I really want something more. I want to get into a school, I want that environment. And I messaged Mike and he's like, yeah, come Saturday to a no-gi class. He'd let you try it out. So I did the class and I got fucking smoked by Cheddar Bob. Like my very first class, I'm like, all right, I got this. Like, he's not that big, dude. He fucked me up. And at the end of the class, I went up to Mike. I was like, hey, man, I want to sign up. And he's like, oh, you can try it out, you know, but if it's something you want to do, you need to stick with it. It is a contract. And I was like, I'm ready to sign up, man. Been here ever since. Best fucking choice I ever made in my life, man.
Yeah.
Best school, arguably one of the best schools around here for jiu-jitsu, for sure. Mike's instructing is bar none, man, for sure.
Awesome.
So you came in, you met Mike. So when was your first fight? When did you have your very first fight? Do you remember that? Obviously, you probably do.
Jiu-jitsu or?
No, MMA.
MMA.
It's pretty
that
recent, right?
May.
Oh, really?
That
okay.
May.
Okay.
No. Yeah, that like May, June area. I can't remember the exact date, but that's when I had my first fight.
Very good.
Yeah, against Tevay Lewis.
So a win by decision?
Win by decision.
Yeah.
Yes, that was my first fight. He had, I think, I'm not sure what his record was, but I think he was over 7 fights.
So not really an easy opponent for a first amateur bout.
No. The funny thing was, because my opponent, a good friend of mine, Juan,
mm-hmm.
He was actually supposed to fight him.
Okay.
And, I'm basically in line, I was supposed to fight an 0-0 fighter, you know, that's what they line you up as.
Right.
And I was supposed to fight him, but he didn't. He was coming from Springfield, but never showed. And I was actually talking to Tevay, you know, saying, yeah, you know, he just kind of, I guess shooting breeze with me,
mm-hmm.
trying to get to know me a little bit.
Sure.
Which is totally fine. But I had no idea I was getting ready to fight him or anything like that. And I weighed in, and actually was... Juan was like, "Hey, I know you want your first fight. So, I'm gonna give you the decision. Do you want to fight today, or do you want me to fight? Because I weighed in already, and we both made weight. What do you want to do?" I said, "Well, I'll fight him. I don't mind."
Mm-hmm.
So I fought him.
Right on,
dude. It was.
That's so funny. That's a crazy story.
Yeah.
And now looking back, you're 5-0. You got.
Yes.
2 decision wins, 2 submission wins, and then a finish by punches.
Yes.
So you're all over the map, man.
Yes, a little
bit. You're a triple threat.
Yes, sir.
You'll beat them on the points. You can take them down and finish them, or we can stand up and bang.
Yes, sir.
So what's if you had to, I guess, explain it for listeners, what's like a good base for you? Would you say jiu-jitsu and wrestling is your base, and that's kind of your world, and you want to just keep people in that world, or are you comfortable standing up and banging?
To be honest, I like to consider myself as a fighter.
Well-rounded.
I don't want to be just good at one thing.
For sure.
I don't want to just be good at 2 things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just wrestling and jiu-jitsu. Or, you know, classified. I don't want to be classified.
For sure.
The Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
You got something for everyone.
Yeah. So I like to, you know, I don't mind standing. You know, I don't mind standing, but, you know, if you take it to the ground, I'm going to finish you.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You take it to the ground, I'm going to finish you. If I stand, I'm going to box you. I'm gonna make you respect me. You
mm-hmm.
know, respect me to, you know, enough to make a mistake.
Fuck yes, sir.
And then either you're going to go to sleep, you're going to fall. You know, like I tell myself in training, every time I'm training or I'm running, especially running, 30, 27, knockout, submission. 30-27, knockout, submission. So basically saying, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to destroy you,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna finish you in this area, or I'm gonna finish you in that area. But basically telling myself, hey, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do it well.
Yeah. Basically. You have to have that mentality, man. I feel like as a fighter, you have to have that mentality. Like, if you have any doubt in yourself going into stuff like that, you've already lost some of the battle. You know what I mean? So, and you don't see that with a lot of people.
And I'd say, I mean, by no means can I speak from experience, but just the grind of wrestling in general, I would think that that grind itself strengthens your mental and your physical for just to have that fighter mentality that makes you go, when someone comes to you, I know you want your first fight. You want to fight this dude, and you're 0-0, and you're like, yeah, I want to fight.
Yeah. That's, but definitely, don't get me wrong.
But that's what separates you from normal people, but from most people that maybe talk that talk but don't walk the walk. Yeah. You know?
Don't get me wrong. I was scared.
Oh, you have to be crazy. You have to, I feel, man.
I am scared every time I step in that cage.
That was a question I had for you, actually.
Yeah, I am scared, man. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it hit you like the day before at the weigh-ins, or is it like when you're in the back, like getting ready, like, all right, fuck, I'm literally about to go out and fight somebody in the cage in front of, you know, a certain amount of people.
If I am, okay, if when I'm in the back,
straight focused.
I'm focusing on my breathing, remind myself to breathe. I'm telling myself, I really don't tell myself anything.
Yeah.
Just handling your business. Repeat what my dad says, you know. Handle your business in and out land. You know, just believe in yourself and do what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
Yep.
Okay. Whether that means 8 rounds.
Right.
Whether that means 1.
Yeah.
Whether that means 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Do what you have to do.
Got one job, baby. So what's up? When do you typically like to start a fight camp? Do you do 6 weeks, 8 weeks? I mean, you always stay ready. I mean, you're always training, so that's one thing. But, I mean, I know when you get 6 weeks out, you're like, all right, focus. This is all I'm doing. I'm fucking, my mind is on this. I'm watching videos. I'm training two, three times a day, whatever the case may be.
I've actually had, I want to say, a good 2 fight camps.
Okay. Ever.
Actual fight camps?
Actual fight camps ever.
To where, like, you've, like, I guess, developed a game plan and a focus and...
Yes, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike is very good about me training and stuff like that. Train hard, but make sure you rest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm always, like you said, I'm always ready. I'm always, you know, I'm always in here. I'm here every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
So... when I do come in, as far as the 6 week period, I get a little nervous. That's when I start my runs. So I know I have a fight coming up. I've started my runs, my long runs. I will pick up the pace closer to the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I start my regimen. Mm-hmm. And then I go into, you know, like, hard rolls. I make sure I let my training partners know, like, hey, I'm looking for work.
Yeah.
I have a
fight. Be ready.
Looking for work. Yeah.
Got the gloves on. He's ready. He's ready to go.
Yeah,
man.
I have a fight coming up, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, but you're cool about it. You'll be like, don't roll with me or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
Like,
so
no, I know that.
I'm gonna outwork you most definitely, but it's mainly for my cardio.
Yeah.
All right. So. It's just, that's how I usually get my fight camp.
So, with your runs, this is always something that I find interesting. Are you a headphones guy or no headphones?
Definitely headphones.
I'm
definitely
the same headphones. Way, man. I gotta have music.
Gotta have music.
Definitely.
I don't have to.
So, I'm kind of on the fence with that. There's times where I don't go, and I kind of keep it, like, if I didn't go, I'd keep it in, you know, just within my thoughts,
mm-hmm.
which is always interesting because your mind seems to wander when you run. Even if you listen to music, sometimes your mind wanders, but it's, I don't know, I feel like there's times without music, you're able to more or less focus, and you kind of get into that zone, that performance zone, where you hit a rhythm.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain, but once you're there, you know it.
Yes, definitely. That's when I'm focused. When I take the earphones off, that's when I'm saying 30-27 knockout submission.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm saying stuff.
Hell yeah.
I can't do that when I'm listening to music because I'm mainly focused on time.
Right, right.
Shit, well, I like this song.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
So I just I try not. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm like closer to the fight, my music. Focus on my breathing patterns, visualizing myself. You know, because sometimes in a fight you are. Like, you know,
you can't always have
different
that
rhythms,
right? Yeah. Breathing, you can't always just have that certain, you know, a rhythm, rhythmic breath. Yeah,
right. Now with your bouncing and your, you know, your flow, you know, like your flow as far as your punches and your kicks, you need to have the same. But as far as your breathing rhythm, sometimes you need to throw more volume,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you need to dial it back. Sometimes I can go back and forth, so. I kind of make sure I control my heart rate as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my long runs really come into handy.
Wow.
What's a long run? How far?
I don't
just run.
I just
run.
Go.
Forrest Gump style, just getting it.
A time.
So I got you.
An hour.
Damn.
So if I can do an hour, I can beat you.
Oh,
oh fuck yeah, you
that's,
can.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Who knows how long you're running
just,
in an hour, man? You might cover some serious ground in an hour,
yeah.
brother.
Coach, I don't think likes that.
The running?
Yeah. Well, like long.
Long distance running?
Because it takes
hard on the
knees, a lot of impact.
Yeah.
A lot of impact.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, on a track, I could do that. You know,
yeah.
at West, you know, they have turf. So
yeah. yeah.
I'm just
mm-hmm.
running. You know?
Are you doing any kind of like explosive training? Because you know it more than anybody. A fight is gung-ho, hard as fuck, and all of a sudden you're taking a break. Gung-ho, hard as fuck, you know what I mean? So it's like hardcore rest, you know what I mean? So are you doing anything like that as far as like explosive endurance training or anything?
I need to work on that.
You definitely need to.
Yes.
Like box jumping, sprints, battle ropes, shit like that.
Okay, so I do sprinting. Like, as far as running, I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
I do include my sprints.
I'm sure you
like,
do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But as far as like explosive, like jumps, boom, like, you know, big explosions, I mainly put that into my double legs. Like, I need to drill these things so I can just, like, just bulldoze. You know, if I need to blast through a straight blast double, then I can blast.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't do too much because I don't really have the money right now. So
yeah,
you know,
no, I understand
I
that
wish,
for sure.
I wish, like, when I start training all day, every day, man, it'd be a scary.
Mother.
Dude, I was watching you today, man. You're already scary, man. I was watching you like catching dudes' arms and rolling them up into like just crazy triangles. I'm like, good night, man. That's just wild chokes.
Thank you.
I mean, it was for. I mean, I have never rolled. I've never done any jiu-jitsu. Simply spectate.
Trying to get my man in this, dude.
I see what you're doing, though. I mean, like I see the triangles, and I mean. Something that you pointed out to someone you were teaching today, how you were able to get out of everything he was putting you in, because I noticed it too. He had no hooks in.
Nothing.
Would never put any hooks in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you told him, like, you know, why am I getting out so, you know, is your hooks. And it's like things like that I just appreciate, man, because you're able to not only be in the moment and train and roll, but you're also able to kind of take yourself back and like, so this is why this is going on.
Yeah.
And you can tell them, and then you guys build off that. And that's, I liked watching that, man.
Yes.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
I appreciate
that. Dude, and that's what I love about this place, training at this place. Because every, like, this class, like, this is a lot of technique for you, so you can just get your movements down. But we have fucking killers that train here. Like, those guys at the other school, man, fucking killers. And that's what I love about it, too. Like, when I go with Bird, or I go with Coach, or I go with Orlando, or Phil, or whatever, it's like, they put it on you and they'll humble you, but at the end of the roll, they're going to be like, hey, man, I know you were doing this. This is what you need to work on. Or you were in this position, but your hips were too high. Just shit like that. I love that shit.
I mean, it's just like with kind of how we talk about with like our jobs and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, when you make a mistake, having someone being, you know, instead of someone being completely hard on you and,
mm-hmm.
and berating you,
yeah.
they can tell you what you did wrong and what
mm-hmm.
to do differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what a good leader can do is, you know, not only can they teach, but they can provide the opportunity for you to grow.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And here too, man, it's all egos leave before you come in. It's like
you'll lose it over here.
If you go roll with Orlando right now, he knows today's your first day. He's not gonna fucking. He's gonna let you work, get you. You know what I mean? Like,
I got a bad right shoulder, man.
Dude, there's people here. Like, dude, look at Coach, man. Coach has fucking two bad hips. You know what I mean? Like, dude, people here have injuries, man. It's like you just let them know before you roll. Just like, my shoulder's a little hurt.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so
I mean, it ain't
hurt.
It's just tender.
You can
easily
do it, man.
It's weaker, I should say.
So you have a fight coming up. What, are you 7 weeks out? 6 weeks out? June 22nd?
June 22nd?
You're like 4 weeks. What's today?
Well, it's not. It's the 24th. Yeah. So
of May.
Yeah. Yes. So he's about a month.
So you got about 4 weeks. 4 weeks and some days. Yeah, damn, dude. You excited?
No.
Why? Do you feel like you're ready?
Being honest.
Yeah.
No, I'm not excited.
Really?
I'm scared. Yeah. I'm scared.
Is it because you don't think you're prepared enough, or is it just this is how your build up always is when you get into a fight? You know, especially 4 weeks out.
It's because I wish I could train all day every day. That's why.
Is that due to just like work or?
Definitely work.
Yeah.
I work at Barnes.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
That's where my girl works.
I work at Barnes. Feel like I've seen her before. But
you probably have.
Yeah.
She runs around that motherfucker like a rabbit, dude.
I actually feel like I've seen her today, actually.
Yeah, she was there. She's probably on her way home now.
But I definitely do to work, you know. I need to make a living somehow. So, right now it's not paying. Right now it's not paying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I kind of have to, you know. I would love to just sit back and just train, you know. But
well, think about it like this. Like, all those guys, like Kamaru Usman, Brian Tisse, all those guys have a build-up like that. Dude. They have to have a job. They have to have a job to train. They have to have a job to get food for training. They have to have a job to get the training, you know. So they have a car. They have gas, you know. It's just – that's part of the struggle and the journey, I guess. But at the end of the day, it's – you know what you have to do. And, you know, on June 22nd, I think you'll get the job done. Do you know, like, anything – do you study your opponents? Like, do you know anything about this guy?
I was trying, actually, to find who you were fighting, and I couldn't find who – your opponent is on.
He's on YouTube.
Chucky Brooks.
Yeah. We'll have to check that out. I didn't know. I guess I was going through their Facebook page. The
NFA's.
Their Facebook page, but I couldn't find the opponent.
So
at least it doesn't like have like a listing like Chucky Brooks versus Orlando Sanders Jr. Yeah. Had a picture of you fighting June 22nd, and someone even commented, "Who's he fighting?" And it said, you know, should be posted soon.
The guy
something.
Who said, "Who's he fighting?" That's Chucky Brooks.
Oh,
really?
Oh, see, yeah.
Would he do that on purpose?
I don't know. I don't
probably be an asshole.
Man. I don't care.
But do you study your opponents? Like,
what a goober. That's weird.
I watch. Probably his two most recent fights.
Mm-hmm.
I watched them 4 times.
Right on.
That's it.
Ground guy, stand up guy.
He's a pedago guy, so I mean, not pedago guy, but he has trained jiu-jitsu. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
He's trained some jiu-jitsu. He's very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
He's just very aggressive. I'll just leave it at that.
What's his record?
6-2.
I like that, though. I like that that's where he's going to leave it, though.
So you're
because that leaves room. That's
hell yeah. So this is a title defense for you, right?
Yes.
Why wouldn't it be? Yeah, that's probably a silly question, but it's funny, though, man. I was at your last fight when you won that fucking badass moment for you. I could just see the joy in your face, man, all that hard work. Like, even the picture we posted on our Instagram page, I don't know if you saw it, we tagged you in it, but, like, you could just see your face when they're wrapping around you. Like, it's just like, fuck, all this hard work finally fucking paid off, man. Like, I'm here. And, dude, it's funny, though, because you dealt with the adversity in the very first round because – that same guy you fought previously, and he poked your eye, and they had to stop the fight. And then first round, he pokes your fucking eye again. Everybody, like, all your teammates, all of us were back there. We're like, what the fuck? The coach is pissed.
I was, like, talking to him about that on the way here. I was like, what's this guy doing to poke him in the eye so many times?
Was he open palm striking, kind of?
Roper is a very long, like, kind of, like, rangy guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's definitely done a lot of boxing.
Yeah.
So he's He tends to open hand sometimes, and
it's like his
sometimes
measuring,
finally, yeah, finding his range.
I gotcha.
And sometimes that once you step in the strike, sometimes it goes straight into your eye. So I don't think he did it on purpose.
Probably not.
But
hope not. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think he did it on purpose. Even if it was twice, you know.
Did he say anything to you like in fight after it happened? Or?
No, I don't think he really owes me.
Yeah. No. Okay. I mean, it never happened. Like, he didn't go like, "Oh, my bad, man," or like, didn't say anything.
No, I don't think he owes me that either.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It's the fight game.
It's 100%
what happens. It's something that happens now, John Jones.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe.
That's my boy, though, man.
Johnny Bones. Like, he's crazy. Who's your favorite UFC fighter? Do you have a specific one you follow?
Woo! That is.
It's hard to answer because I have a lot of
favorite fans. Right, I'll tell you what. My favorite guy.
We can even do weight classes. It don't matter.
Okay. Favorite guy, 170. The guy that I've always watched, even kind of growing up, Thiago Alves.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Woody. I was like, that wasn't expected.
Thiago Alves.
Cool, man.
Puts a fucking pace and pressure on guys.
That's a bad dude.
That guy has imitation. Fighting style is so... Don't wait around.
Yeah.
Don't wait. Because he's coming. Mm-hmm. That's a good... That's a low-key one.
I've become a huge fan of Usman, dude. Usman?
Me too.
He's a bad motherfucker, bro.
Yeah.
That's a bad dude, man. I like him a lot.
He just throws slugs.
Seeing him next to Woodley, how much bigger he was.
Mm-hmm. Scary.
Yeah.
Do you think Woodley was off that night? Or do you think Kamar Usman's pace is just that fucking hard?
Why wouldn't Woodley have a pace similar to that? He's got a strong wrestling base. Good jiu-jitsu. Why wouldn't he have a similar pace?
But the thing is, Woodley, look at Woodley's past fights. He goes backwards a lot, right?
He does.
Just to set up the right hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, what I think, yes, he had a very, very off night. I think he just, mentally, a lot of things going on.
I agree.
Like, you know, just as far as him trying to establish himself as a, you know, as a good person in the market to fight, and a good person to fight. I mean, a good person in the market to do movies, interviews,
sponsorship.
You gotta pay me, to get.
He's commentating, he's doing that after the show, the Fox show.
He has a rap album. He's with Wiz Khalifa.
He's making moves. I mean, he's setting himself up for after the fight game. You know what I mean?
And maybe that is the case. But part of me still thinks, and I don't. It might be just because he fights out of St. Louis, and I'm a homer. But I still think there's some gas left in the tank there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think it's done.
He just pulled from that Robbie Lawler fight.
Yeah.
He's getting surgery on his hands.
But that might not be a bad thing. That might be something that he needs in order to get back to seeing Tyron. We know Tyron. That's like, dude, you're going to get a fucking nuke dropped on your jaw. Like, it's not him good.
Yeah.
You know, just don't get touched. Because it's not fun, man. Like, you see dudes, what's that shot where he punched Wonder Boy and his eyes are like cross-eyed and shit from getting hit so hard? You know what I'm talking about? His eyes, like, he has one that's like halfway shut and the eyes over here and the other one's wide open and his eyes going up here. I'm like, you know how hard you have to hit somebody to make their eyes do some shit like that?
You see Sage Northcutt get rocked? Did you see that?
Disappointing.
That's a fucking bomb, dude. I forget the guy's name, but he's a bad motherfucker.
They put him against Cosmo Alexander.
That's what it was.
The guy is a fucking menace. He's a Muay Thai menace.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's been in the game for a while, too.
Look at these 1FC fights, whenever there's a UFC fighter, it's like, man, they're sending the UFC fighters to the wolves. Because they want, I think 1FC is trying to really push, like, you guys, it's an even playing field. UFC's no
world class versus world class, which, man. These guys are not pussies,
You can't argue with, but I just don't think Cosmo Alexander is the right fight for Sage Northcutt. The kid's 23 taking a shot like that. That's tough, dude.
That's me.
He's still over there.
Dude. I mean, it's like, dude, you got so much career left, time.
Yeah.
Like, didn't he break something?
He broke 17 bones
in his fucking cheek, bro.
Like, you know, that's...
He's still at the hospital in whatever fucking...
Wow.
It was Brazil or somewhere they fought. He's still in the hospital.
It's just tough, man. It's like one of those... It's like... Was that really the only fight, the only option he had? Like, that had to be his first fight in 1FC?
Wow.
I mean, the kid didn't fight guys like that.
You'd be lucky to see him fight again, man.
Who was the toughest dude that we saw Sage fight in the UFC?
Mickey Gall.
I'll say Mickey Gall, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a bad dude, too.
I'm not taking anything away from him. Like, not at all. But I'm saying we've seen Mickey Gall get stopped. We've seen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what kind of competition has Sage Northcutt really fought? And you're going to send him against a fucking Muay Thai killer that's... Yeah. He's like 38 years old. He's got, dude,
1,000 fights under his belt. Like, he's
how many, but he's got the time, man. You know, fighting Muay Thai, and not just like, you know, he's fighting traditional Muay Thai. He's you know, not someone to mess around with. I feel bad for Sage. That's a tough loss.
Yep.
What about 155? What do you like over there?
155.
That's probably my favorite weight class. 170, 155 is definitely.
Oh, those are the shark tanks there, man.
Killers.
185 is pretty good, too.
155.
Because you got Dustin Poirier, you got Cowboy, you got Khabib, you got Ferguson. That's going to be an interesting fight. Ferguson mm-hmm. and Pettis. I'm looking forward to that.
Is that who it is?
Or is it, no, it's I'm sorry. It's Ferguson and Cowboy.
And Ferguson then Pettis and Pettis is fighting. Because Pettis, there was times in that fight that I thought Pettis was going to finish him.
Nate Diaz, that's what it is.
Pettis-Diaz. It's Pettis and Nate.
It's Nate Diaz. Yeah.
Nick won't fight ever again.
Nah, he's chilling, bro. He's smoking weed.
He says it. Like, if you watch his Instagram, he's like, I ain't fighting in that shit.
He's smoking weed and smacking asses, bro. You know,
he wants the right kind of paycheck for it.
Yeah.
I think he'd come back, like, if he's going to get...
They're deserving of that, too.
Conor McGregor money. They're close to it. You know, that'll blow him out, but... He's got, like, his own... Marijuana strain, CBD stuff.
Yeah, they're
like
doing their thing, man.
They got their own, you know, different venues
smart.
That they make money. Yeah.
Smart.
Really?
Businessman. Yeah.
So, do you have, like, a nickname that you fight with, or you roll with Orlando Sanders Jr.? There's nothing, no fluff here, man. You're getting me.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Still making one?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
But I want it to come natural.
Yeah, man.
I don't want to force none, you know.
Yeah.
The Hurricane. Yeah. Like, this isn't WWE.
Fuck no, dude. The Flying Wonder.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm going to stick to my name, and I want my name to go first. And,
mm-hmm. It sounds good, though. It sounds like a fighter's name.
Really?
To me, yeah. Like, when I think about that, Orlando Sanders Jr., I'm like, it sounds like somebody would kick you in your face, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it'd choke
that's
you
awesome.
Out.
Yeah,
you
don't
like, that's what I think of. Like, for real, it sounds like a... You know, sounds like a fighter. And you got the junior, man. Like,
yes,
something
sir.
About that junior,
yeah.
That adds that extra clout, dude. Yeah. Like, it does, though.
Yeah.
It does.
Trust me, yeah. I
mean,
like it.
You know, people used to make fun of Roy Jones all the time, but they didn't make fun of Roy Jones Jr.
No.
Okay?
Very true.
No, I'm kidding. No, I'm just I made that up.
I guess my next question for you is, I know you said, obviously, you know, money's tight, you're working, you're trying to train, all that shit. So how do you eat during a camp? Like, obviously, you have to be on point. Where do you walk around at?
I walk around at
185. So it's not a hard, drastic cut.
183.
Yeah. So the cut's not too bad.
But when I'm, like, training, like, hard, I dropped to 180 already.
Yeah.
So I'm probably at 183 right now. So it's not a hard cut at all.
So do you watch what you eat, kind of? I guess maybe 3-4 weeks out? Like, as you're a month away, I guess you probably have to start tapering down a little bit on...
Yeah. If once a month hits, I've already bought my salad. I've already bought my eggs.
Okay.
I've already bought my my soup.
He said my soup.
My
what kind of soup?
It's a chunky.
He said my soup. That's fucking
chunky.
Awesome, man.
I got wild rice.
Yeah. That's good shit.
It's either chicken and wild rice or turkey and wild rice. Fire.
Fire. Fuck
and,
yeah, I eat that
Panera.
Shit.
Panera. Oh my god. Chicken and rye rice.
Oh, from Panera?
Yes.
Man.
Or, as my girlfriend says, St. Louis Bread Company.
Around here, that's what
I say,
but
bro.
When you say
I say bread color, that's what
but
I
but
say.
But the thing is, though, is like, I've been...
North.
Yeah. So I've been...
It's Panera. Okay.
I've been outside of St. Louis, so I know that people call it Panera. But, yeah, around here, we're special. We call it the St. Louis Bread Company.
Yeah.
Because that was my advice I was going to give to you, too. I mean, I've been in, you know, nutrition and working in the gym for, you know, most of my life. And, you know, you can eat on a budget, man. Like, you can get tuna packets. Eggs are fucking great because they're cheap and you can buy them in bulk.
Yeah.
Shit like that. So that's good. You have an understanding of that. You can buy rice cups. Like, you can do whatever the fuck you need.
A 60-pack from Walmart.
Yeah.
$4.75.
Bro, yeah. They're probably not the best eggs, but, I mean, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do, man. What but, what do you eat after a weigh-in? You have a specific meal that you get, like a
Subway.
Chipotle?
Yeah.
Add that today, fire.
Subway. I try to keep it the same, just because my after weigh-in, I can hold certain things. I can hold. I have to get my carbs in, my bread, or else the next day, I'm not gonna eat. I know I'm not gonna eat.
Just
too much. Just due to nerves.
Fuck
and stuff
yeah.
like that. So, I'm not a big person to throw up, so it comes out the other end. So
that ass, yeah, me too,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
Same way. I'm the same way,
yeah,
man.
That ass.
So I that's what happens.
Yeah, man.
Crazy thing is, every time I get, I know there's a fight coming up, and my body just knows, like, when I need to start kicking in high gear. It kicks all the Dunkin' Donuts, the, you know, all that.
The toxic, know, yeah.
The pizza, yeah. The fries, and all I love to eat.
That comfort food.
Fuck yeah. Man. Oh, the soul food.
Oh.
But anyway.
hungry now.
It just kicks it all out. So, literally, like, after a run, I have to go to the bathroom right away. Kicks it all out. Then make sure, like, okay, now I'm good. My body can run now.
It's weird how that is, man.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like when I get to jiu-jitsu, man. It's like, as soon as I pull in the park, it's like, fuck, I gotta shit. I don't know if it's like, I'm not like nervous anymore, because it's just like, I know everybody, and, you know, it's like family, but it's like, I know I'm about to go in there and go hard, so I was like, fuck, I gotta shit. But, like, the second I get in, I get my mouth guard in, I tape up, it's like, I don't have to shit anymore. It's weird, dude.
Fight or flight.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Yeah. I get that every time. I had to do that today when I came in. I wasn't even fucking training. I was like, fuck, I gotta shit, dude. Yeah. But, no, that's cool, man. So what do you... What do you do after a fight? I mean, obviously, you probably have, like, a cheat meal that you want to get, but it's like, what if you get busted up? Like,
what
you
were, cheat meal?
You don't get, like, a cheat meal after a fight or anything? Like, you don't go get a big-ass pizza or...
No.
I guess you don't really think about that after a fight.
I say I'm going to cheat. I mean, I'm going to get this big-ass burger. I'm going to get... You know, I'm going to get... Man, I'm going to make me... Man, I'm going to... I don't know. I'm going to smash.
Yeah.
But I don't. Never.
Really? I guess, yeah, I could
I'll
see
I'll just that. Get, like, probably, like, 4 Jack in the Box tacos. That's it.
Yeah.
That sounds good right now, too. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. no cheese.
So, real quick, too, I didn't. I meant to ask you about this. So, how was last weekend at the IBJJF Chicago Open?
Tough.
You did good, man. Second. That guy looked like a fucking nerd that won first, man. It's like those nerd assassins.
A savage.
Yeah, I guarantee it. It's probably some big IT guy or
guy's
something.
A savage.
GF team is a very tough team.
Where are they out of?
Yeah.
Right on. I'll look them up tonight.
GF team is a... I just know just from jiu-jitsu and watching, hearing...
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know they're tough. So they're up there with Altos, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so they're pretty even playing with them.
Damn.
Tough guys. So I know I'm in for a fight sometimes. And if I kill one, then I kill one. But if not, then I just know... I just need to bring it every time.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, you know, oh, it's GF team, so I have to really, like, you know, dial this one in. No, I'm treating everybody the same. I'm going to try to rip your head off every time, but, you know, shake your hand right after.
So how'd you lose to him? Was it submission?
By 1 point.
1 point.
Oh, brutal.
That's crazy.
I think it was an advantage. It was either 1 or 2 advantages I lost by. But I know it was really close. And then the guy in the open class, my first match, I pulled the world champ. I didn't know this, but he's from GF team too, but he's from a different GF team, like straight out of Brazil kind of GF team. And I was just like, oh man, like the reason why I knew this is just because when I grabbed him, I was like, whoa, he's different.
Yeah.
You can tell,
man.
Like, you can tell as soon as somebody's different, like, they're different, man. When you grab or lock up or somebody, and, like, say, like, I've wrestled from people across the country, you know, or across the country or across the world, and they feel different.
Yeah.
But when I locked up with him and I pulled it as that lapel the first time, I was like, he's different. So I need to. You know, let me get a little lower. So let me accept, like, expect the pull. And I pull, meaning pulling guard. Pulling guard is something, you know, in jiu-jitsu. It is illegal. We call them boot scooters here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Butt scooters, I'm sorry, not boot scooters. But it's, he pulled right away and I was like, yeah, he's tough, man. He knows his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed not portray, but I needed to let him know, like, I'm the real deal too. You know, I'm gonna pass you. I'm gonna, you know, do this. So I'm gonna bring it every time. So that's how I did it. But I ended up losing 8-0, 2 advantages.
Really?
Yeah, I got killed.
Damn.
Yeah,
he's from that dude that was number one on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's a world champion. At Worlds this year. Wow. I mean, not this year. Last year. So.
But that should let you know where you're at, though, man. Like, your games, dude, it's... I mean, you're obviously, you know, road to purple belt. You're probably not... You'll probably get that this year. I mean, I can't speak for any myself or you or coach. Yeah, I know.
I want to go to Worlds, man. I do. I want to go to Worlds, and I want to be a world champion. A blue belt, purple, brown, black.
That's what I love about Coach, because he does not fucking hand you a belt. Like, you have, like, I'm still a white belt. I've been training for 2.5 years, but I don't even want a blue belt right now. I don't think that I'm ready, but it's like, you know when you're getting better. Like, you keep coming. You show up 2-3 days a week or 4 days or whatever. But Coach, dude, I have 2 stripes, and I've been here 2.5 years, but I don't care if I have any. Like, I don't train for that. Like, I don't want to. I don't care about any of that. It's just as long as I know I'm getting better, I'm moving better. Right. I know I can go out there and someone grabs me, I can choke the fuck out of them, or throw them to the ground, whatever. That's all I care about. But it's crazy, though, because, like, you go to these – you see these Gracie schools, and, like, I know guys that have been training for a year, and they're blue belts with 2 stripes, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, how? Like, dude, I could probably take you. You know what I mean? I can't speak for that because I've never trained with you, but, I mean, I don't know, man. Yeah. That's what I love about Coach. He's definitely – you're going to earn that. You get that purple belt, you're a fucking purple belt. Like, you're a legit purple belt. Like, you're a killer.
And I don't feel like I'm there yet.
I hear you.
In a lot of aspects, I don't feel like I'm there. So don't treat me like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So as far as, like, that in MMA, I'm not there yet. Right. I only have 5 fights, man. I don't know everything.
Yep.
And I'm an amateur. Shoot, this don't mean anything to me.
There's levels. Doesn't.
Yeah.
Levels, man.
Man. So, like I've rolled with some pros, you know. I've rolled with some pros, and I've submitted them. But that's only in jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's... you know, too good at jiu-jitsu, but I guarantee if I fight him, he's going to kill me.
Right.
So I want to get to that point where I'm up here, you know, and I go in here, I roll with everybody, I'm cool, you know, and I'm still down here with everybody, but my level, when I turn into that different person, when I'm in that cage, I want to be a total different person, and that's my goal.
Fuck yeah.
Or on the mat.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, shit, man.
Yeah, that was good, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
So, real quick, Orlando Sanders, dude, like I said, bro, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your, you know, out of your night to
definitely.
Sit Thank with you, us man. For this time Thank and go over everything. Where can we find you? Social media, Twitter, Instagram?
All. So, my Instagram is @Lando31_.
Okay.
And my Twitter, you can just type in Orlando Sanders Jr., find me.
Right on.
Facebook, yeah. Obviously, Orlando Sanders. I need to change that. And then go like my page at Orlando Sanders Jr.
Please do that for us, guys. We really appreciate it. June 22nd, he's got a fight coming up. You know, follow him on his page if you don't go to the fight or anything like that. By the way, I got to get tickets from you for that shit. Thanks again, bro. I really appreciate it. And, you know, that's episode 14. That's a wrap. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Dope,
God, first guess. I was glad it was you, man.
What's up, guys? This is Penny. I just wanted to deliver a quick little message to you guys. I hope you guys all have a great Memorial Day weekend. But let's remember what this day is about. So this Memorial Day is a day that we honor those that served in the military and paid the ultimate price. I know there's a lot of people that maybe get confused in regards to Armed Forces Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day. So I'll clear that up real quick. Armed Forces Day is a day for the members of the military that are still currently actively serving. They currently wear the uniform. Armed Forces Day. Veterans Day. That day is for anyone that served in the United States military and has thus retired, discharged, what have you. They're no longer serving, but at one point they did serve. They are veterans. Now, Memorial Day, this is the big day. This is the day that we honor those that paid the ultimate price. The guys, the women, that never made it out of their uniform. They died while serving. So this weekend, when you gather with your friends, your family, and you're throwing back beers, having a barbecue, whatever you guys have planned, take a minute and just kind of be thankful for the opportunity and the fact that you're able to do this. And remember that someone laid their life down to make sure that you could do this. Have a good weekend. Let's go Blues.